All right, I hope you brought your Bible tonight, and I want you to take that Bible and let's open it up and let's stand. We're going to turn to the book of Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at a very familiar passage that I've preached out of here before. You probably had Sunday school lessons out of this passage. You've read it several times yourself, but I really believe that this is what the Lord's got on my heart to preach tonight, and I believe it's a portion of Scripture that we all need. You know, when you and I get saved, we can have peace with God. We don't have peace with God until we get saved. Everybody's not God's child. Everybody's not got God's favor. If you're lost, you're not God's child. You're a child of the devil. And if you're lost, things aren't right with you and God. We have to be reconciled. That means restored back to harmony, fixed with God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we can have peace with God. But even after you and I get saved, if we would be very honest in our lives, there are things that come up that we don't always go to bed at night, lay our head down and shut our eyes and have peace, do we? I mean, if you and I were honest tonight and just tell the truth, there are times when we are driving down the road or sitting in our chair at our house or laying in our bed at night, and we are filled with anxiety. We are worried. We are anxious. We may even be depressed. And I'm not going to tell you that what we're going to look at tonight is going to eradicate that and solve all that. I know there's all kind of things that causes this. People to get worried and depression. You know, I believe some of that stuff is generational stuff. If you were raised in a worried and anxious environment, you're going to have to fight that probably. Some of it may be a chemical stuff, physiological stuff. Some of it may be demonic stuff. Some of it's just not trusting God. I know there's all kind of variables in why we as Christians don't always have peace. And it's not that we don't have, peace about our relationship with God, and we know where we're going when we die, and we know that when I draw my last breath, I'm going to be with the Lord of Lords. Don't you know that tonight? That's not the thing I'm talking about. I'm talking about in dealing with the troubles and the struggles and the heartaches and the problems of everyday life. And sometimes we face it fearfully, don't we? And sometimes we face it with anxiety and struggle. And I don't even know your hearts tonight. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what you brought here tonight. This is a Wednesday night service. We're right here in the middle of the week. I don't know, but I bet you that if I would had time to sit down and talk to each and every one of you, and you share your heart, some of you came here tonight really burdened, really bothered about something. And you just don't have that peace that you want. And I'm going to preach to you tonight about the secret of peace. And it ain't a secret, really. It's right here in the Bible. But I want us to look at about three things out of this passage tonight that I believe will rob you of a Christian, rob a Christian of his peace or her peace if you don't do these things. There's three things that you and I have got to do. We've got to do them daily. They've got to be a constant in our life so that when all these troubles and all these trials and all these problems and all these heartaches and all these things come up against us, when we do these three things, it helps us to battle it and to be able to go to bed at night and lay my head on my pillow at night and know maybe my circumstances haven't changed, but I have peace and knowing that everything is going to be all right. Let's read these verses tonight, and we're going to get into that, what I just call the secret of peace. And as I said, it's not a secret at all. It's forever Christian. But if you just want to chop down and get right down to most of the problems of why we don't have peace, we're going to answer it in these three things tonight we find in this passage. For Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And finally, verse number 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and here's the promise, and the God of peace shall be with you. Brother Kent Barnes, would you pray for the message tonight? Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, Lord, I pray you would. That's right. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, the very first thing you read in verse number 6 is be careful for nothing. That means you and I aren't supposed to be anxious and worried about anything. It said be careful for nothing. Now, if it just left you right there, you'd wonder, well, how can I be careful for nothing? It tells you, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The first thing you're going to have to do if you want to have peace in your life when all this stuff is going on is you're going to have to pray right. You're going to have to pray. I've heard a fellow say one time, he said, well, why pray when you can worry? You know, all the energy we spend in worrying, and by the way, worry and faith does not go together. And the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin. So what does that make worry? It's a sin. And listen, I'm not just preaching to you tonight. I'm preaching to me as much as anybody here tonight. If there's anybody in here that knows about worry and knows about anxiety and knows about having care about things and not giving it to God like you ought to, it's me. I know. I've been there. I've struggled with it. I understand. I understand where you are tonight. But I'm telling you this right now, right here at the beginning of the thing, that you and I are going to have to spend time in prayer, praying about these things. And the Bible says there, supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We've got to go to God with these things, folks. And listen, prayer isn't always easy. It's a lot easier to worry than to pray. It's a lot easier to fret on it and get upset about it and discouraged about it than pray. But you and I have got, when these things are bothering us, you know what prayer does? Prayer opens a line of communication with you and God. And a lot of times, prayer doesn't get rid of what you're going through. And it may not even be in God's plan to get rid of what's causing you worry. But what you know what that prayer's doing? Listen to me. It's getting your mind off the problem and your mind on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's giving you a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're talking to Him, and He's ministering to you. How many of you have ever woke up in the middle of the night or had some kind of deep problem, and your heart just be burning and tore up, and you get up in your chair, get in your couch, and you just tore up, and then you just start pouring your heart out to God and start praying. And you feel the peace that passeth all understanding come on you. Can anybody testify to that tonight? Amen. It wasn't necessarily that God took that problem away right then. You may have got up the next day and faced that very same problem. But you still were able to face it with peace. And that's what we're talking about tonight. If you want to have peace in your life with all these things that we face and all the things that go on, man, you've got to pray. You've got to stay in prayer about it. I understand there's all kind of things that bother folks. Like I said in introduction to this sermon, I know people have all kind of medical problems and depression problems. There's more anxiety medicine sold. It's a $1 billion market now in this country. I understand that, and I'm not telling anybody that they don't have a chemical imbalance and they might not need to be treated medically. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that if I based on my experience and what I believe Christians ought to do, is before we are quick to run to medicine, we ought to be quick to run to God. And I'm telling you, a lot of this anxiety, a lot of this fear, a lot of this depression, a lot of this worry could be solved. Maybe all of it, but I guarantee you a good chunk of it could be solved with a healthy prayer life. And we don't have it. You be honest, you don't have it. When your troubles and your trials come up, you know how we deal with it? With an extra helping of ice cream. Or I'll just take an extra nerve pill tonight. Or I'll sit there and try to figure out some way of, you know, how can I get through this thing? Or I'll just go work a little bit to get my mind off of it. Or I'll just won't get up today. Instead of saying, God, I'm in trouble, I have no peace, I'm hurting, I'm in sorrow right now. And get down on your knees and do the work of talking to God. And when you pray right, listen, you know that it works. You that are God's children, you know that it works, don't you? It works. But the world and your flesh and the devil is trying to tell you to do everything else in this world to solve your problem of not having peace, but pray. I want you to try every other thing. You know, it can't possibly just be that you need to talk to God and draw strength from God through a healthy prayer life. And I'll tell you this. I think a lot of times why we have worries and problems and struggles in our life is because that's the only way God can get us to talk to Him. We don't want to talk to God. You let everything be going fine and the prayer line shut down. But you let something be wrong, one of our youngins, or our marriage, or me, or the bottom drop out, brother, we can't get God's number quick enough. We can pray and pray and pray and pray when we need them. And sometimes I think God sits up there and He goes, I ain't heard from old brother so and so here lately. I guess I better put a little worry down there, a little something to stir him up a little bit. Maybe he'll talk to me again. But I'm telling you, listen tonight, listen. I'm trying to help you. There is no counselor, no therapy, no drug that can ever substitute prayer. Do you understand? You're going to have to pray. And when these things come on you and those dark clouds come on you and those feelings come on you and you're laying in the bed, what do I do? What I do, what I do. Don't get up and turn the TV on and find out what you do. Don't go to the library and find, you know, what Dr. Smellfungus said about it. You open this book and find out what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords said about it, and you talk to God. That's why he said the first thing there, he says, let your request be made known. And what did he say after that? You do that and what? The peace, there it is, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know why is it the peace of God pass all understanding? Because it's like this. I may not have a solution to my problem. I may not know how this thing's going to turn out. But I just can go to bed with peace in my heart after I've communed to God and went to Jesus. We sing that old hymn in the church. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. Any of you ever seen that? You remember those words? Those are not just words in the hymn. It's reality. We can't bear our burdens alone. We have to tell Jesus. And if you are sitting here suffering tonight and have a lack of peace because of something going on in your life and you are not in a steady, consistent prayer life, that's part of your problem. And you will never, ever find the peace you're looking for until you pray right. Number two, not only do we need to pray right, the secret to peace is to think right. Because if you want to know the truth, a lot of that junk that gets us upset and so messed up and are sick on our stomachs and runs our blood pressure up and stomach ulcers and anxieties, you know where that junk starts? Listen to me, church. You know where it starts? Right here. Right here. Thinking, dwelling on the worst, dwelling on the negative, dwelling on the past, dwelling on what if this happens and the worst scenarios. And not, listen, You've got to keep your mind clean. You've got to think right. And if you don't think right, you cannot have peace. Notice what it says there in verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Laying in bed at night worrying about your bills and having images in your mind of the bill collector coming to you and calling you on the phone and shutting off your electricity, that ain't gonna give you peace, okay? Laying in the bed at night when you're waiting on test results and thinking, yeah, I know it's bad. I know it's bad. I know it's going to be bad. I know it's going to be bad. I can tell you that's not going to give you peace, okay? Laying in the bed at night wondering, I don't know some such situation. I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to handle it. I don't know how we're going to take care of it. And just thinking the worst case scenario and running it through your mind over and over and over and over. Anybody ever guilty of that here besides me? Well, you might go on and go to bed that night, but I can tell you one thing you won't go to sleep with. That's peace. You've got to get that mind thinking right. That Bible says we've got to cast down imaginations. We have to take captive every thought, the Bible says. We have to control our thinking. The problem with many Christians is they've got what we call stinking thinking. And every time you start addressing somebody and talking about how you need to control your mind, the only thing Christians ever seem to think about is lust or maybe anger. They say, yeah, I need to keep my mind pure of lust and pure of anger. And that's true. You don't need to be lusting in your mind. You don't need to be angry. But there's a whole lot of other stuff you've got to keep pure in your mind besides lust and anger. And because if you don't, that's where the worry and the depression and the anxiety and the fear and all that stuff comes in. And you can't walk around and have peace. You can't do it. Notice, just to go over a few of these again before we go to our last point. He said, think on things that are true. Whatsoever things are true. You know what's true? Let me tell you what's true. What's true is God's bigger than that thing that's going on in your life. Think about that. That's what's true. Don't think about how big it is. Think about how big God is. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Don't think on dishonest things. You think you're going to lay there and walk around with dishonest thoughts embedded in you and you have the peace of God? You're not. Whatsoever things are just. Think on things that are right. That are godly. Whatsoever things are pure. Again, I will address that sexual thing. If you're not thinking on pure things, you're not going to have a pure mind. And if you don't have a pure mind, eventually, you're not going to have a pure heart. And if you don't have a pure heart, you're going to do something impure. The secret to peace is having a pure mind. When I have a bad thought in my mind, through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within me, get it out. I've got to think on pure things. I've got to think on honest things. I've got to think about true things. Whatsoever things are lovely, think on lovely things. For our Savior's lovely, think about Him. Whatsoever things are of good report, not a bad report. We lay in our minds sometimes thinking of a bad report, how bad it's going to be, how bad it probably is. Think of the good report. The good report is, I don't care what kind of bad report I may get tomorrow or next week. I'm going to heaven to live with Jesus Christ forever and ever. There'll never be any more suffering. And He said that He's going to work all things together for my good. He said, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. He said, His grace is sufficient. That's the good report. And you have to think on those things. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, boy, we'll just praise God. Just say, you know, Lord, I'm hurting. But I just want to thank you for all the good things you've done for me. I want to thank, and I do this sometimes. I say, Lord, today's a horrible day. And I'm down, Lord, and I'm physically down, spiritually down, emotionally down. But Lord, I want to thank you for all the good days. Do you know what I've done in my past several times with my wife? And you ought to do this with your spouse. Not because I do it, but it's good. Now, I got a great wife. I mean, I put her up with anybody. I mean, I just love her that much. She's just such a wonderful wife. But she's got flesh, just like I do. So she's a sinner, just like I am and you are. She's not a perfect wife, just like I'm absolutely not a perfect husband. But from time to time, when she gets on her whatever, you know, and makes me upset, or makes me mad, or bothers me, or does something that I don't like, or acts in what I would consider an unkind way, or I think she's unreasonable, I just downright think she's wrong. You know what I do? I don't do it all the time. I wish I did, but I do it a lot of the time. I'll go get somewhere and sit down, and I'm mad with her, or hurt with her, or whatever. And I'll just say, no, I'm not going to think about that. And I'll start thinking, I'll start thanking God. That's what I do. I pray. I say, now, Lord, you know how I feel right now, but what I want to thank you is for all the good things my wife's done for me, all the good things she said about me, all the good ways she's treated me, that this is just isolated incidents that just happens every once in a while. This ain't how she I have to live every day. And I thank God. And you know, what happens pretty soon after that? It's just a few minutes. I ain't even upset at all no more. And I think that bugs Darby a little bit too, how I can get over something so quick. Women can't do that, by the way, men. I mean, they think you're insincere when you say I'm sorry, because you say something or do something in a few minutes, you say I'm sorry, they say you just saying that. No, I'm actually really sorry, and I'm actually really over it. Why are you still mad? They just are. They just are. But I do that. You know, now what could I do? What could I do? My wife could hurt my feelings or say something that bothers me. I could go sit there and let it fester and steam and think on it and just get mad and bitter. And you know what that thing would do? In about 3 or 4 years, if you don't deal with it, put you in divorce court. Or I could sit there and say, God, man, this is a great woman. I mean, 99 out of 100 times she's good. And I'm going to get mad at her about one time. I mean, I know what kind of great husband she's got, but still. You have to think that way, folks. Listen, if you don't control your thinking about everything, about other people, your church, your pastor, your wife, your children, everything, you're not going to have peace. The devil's just there ready to whisper something. Uh-huh, see what she said? Uh-huh, see how he did that? Did you hear that? Did you hear the tone of that? Boy, did you see what you did for that sucker? And he didn't even see it. Especially whisper to you women, you get something done different. Men don't know that you've got something done different. You walk in the house, you think everything's fine, but brother, she got the bear trap loaded for you. How you doing, honey? Fine. And you start seeing her countenance change. You notice anything different? Whenever my wife says that, it's like, somebody's coming behind me to kill me. I'm like, oh, God, help me. Lord Jesus, what is it? I can't find it. I don't know. And I can't say her hair. If it ain't her hair, she really will get mad then. I don't know. I'm in panic mode, brother. Panic mode. Women, if you ever want to get back to your husband, just say, you notice anything different? You got them, because they don't. We don't. Now, ladies, it's at that time you have to have virtuous good thoughts in your mind. You can't think that jerk, after all I did for him and did this, and he don't even notice it. Just think, well, you know, at least he come home to me. I mean, you've got to think. You've got to think right. If you don't control your thinking, you're never going to have peace and no relationship. And nothing you do, nothing. You're gonna have to pray right. You're gonna have to think right. And one more thing tonight. You're gonna have to do right. I hear folks, and I counsel with them from time to time. Listen, and it's not that I'm judging them, but there's obvious things in their life that is contrary to the Word of God. That is unchristian and ungodly, and then they're boo-hooing and sitting out there talking to me, wondering why there is such turmoil. because there's no rest and peace for those that are God's children and are living in rebellion. Folks think, no, it's got to be something else. It's got to be something else. Have you ever thought that sometimes the reason you don't have peace and you don't have calm in the storm and you don't have the assurance that God wants you to have is because you're not doing what He wants you to do. You're not living right. And you've got to do right. Notice what He said. Look, verse number 9. Everybody look at this, church. It says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what? What does it say? Do. You do it. And notice the colon. What's the promise? You do that, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know what Paul's telling them? He says this. He says, the things that you've learned that are right, do it. The things you've received that are you supposed to be doing, do it. Those things that you've heard, do it. Those things you've seen emulated in my life, do those that are right. Do those things. Do the right things. The Bible says that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. You know what that Bible's saying? It's saying, look, you are a very, and I am a very deceived person if we hear the Bible and believe the Bible, but don't live the Bible. And there's a lot of people that don't have peace. Listen, the first thing I would do if I were you, really, if you're having any type of problems with turmoil or anxiety or struggles or problems, the very first thing I would do is ask myself, am I right with God? I mean, as far as I can tell, the Spirit of God dealing with me is the light that I've been given, as my conscience bears witness with me, am I right with God? Am I doing right? Because there's no peace to those who don't do right. Now listen to me. Listen here. I'm getting ready to close now. I'm not going to promise you that you won't need some medicine. I'm not going to promise you you won't need some rest. I'm not going to promise you that you won't need somebody to talk to, some counseling, a sounding board. Biblical counseling, I hope. I'm not going to promise you that doing everything that I've instructed you out of here tonight is going to make you 100% always for the rest of your life have peace in any situation. All of us can be rocked from time to time. But I'm going to tell you this. If you will think right, get your mind on good things, if you'll do right to the best of your ability, do what God's telling you to do, and pray right, go to the Lord in prayer and have a constant line of communication with Him, you're going to find as God's child that you're going to have peace in time of trouble. Now, just try me out first. Just say, well, Brother Dennis, that won't. Have you ever tried it? Yeah, I'm not talking about for one day. I'm not talking about for 2 days or 3 days or even a week. Have you ever done it for month after month after month and just stuck with it? And just did what God said. Pray like you ought to. Think like you ought to. Live like you ought to. And that's the secret to peace. And it ain't no secret. It's right here. Listen, it's right here for everybody to pick up and everybody to read. Some of you know this. Some of you don't. In my past and different times, I went through a couple of things where I had a history of depression and anxiety, and one time really got in bad shape, and doctor wanted me to have some medicine, and I think I took one pill or something, I don't know, I can't remember, and listen, there's something could happen, I could have a chemical imbalance one day, and that may be it, where I have to take medicine. I know many people and my family, and some of you that have to take medicine. I'm not preaching against medicine. Don't walk out of here and say, Brother Dennis is preaching against medicine. I'm probably on more medicine than any of you in here. But what I'm saying is that I realized with me that I was letting my mind run away with things. I realized with me that I was worrying and looking up at going and asking people, what about this, what about that, what about this, what about that, instead of getting in the Word. And I realized with me it was a trust issue. I realized with me also that it's something on my mother's side of the family that has been passed down to me through the generations. You go back and look at the people on my mother's side of the family, all very nervous, very worried, anxious people. And that thing comes down through generation, generation, generation. And when I realized that and I saw that, I really believed that, God, I'm going to get control of this thing through you. You. And before I considered any other avenue of treatment, I realized it was him. This was a spiritual thing. And that's how I fought it and got victory. And if you want peace, you've got to realize that the thing that's robbing you of peace is more than likely, almost, not always, but almost exclusively a spiritual thing. And you're going to have to deal with it like that. Through prayer. Through keeping your mind on the right things. Through doing what God told you to do. Please don't push this away as something very simple and trivial. And, oh, I thought he was going to give us some great big thing tonight. And he just said, pray, keep your mind on good things, and do what's right. It works. It works. This saying out in the world, don't knock it till you tried it. I'm sure if you're sitting here tonight and you don't have peace, you haven't tried it. You do everything you know God's telling you to do and live right. You watch that mind and you think right. And you spend your time, instead of worrying, praying. You go home tonight and you're burning down about something, turn that stupid TV off. Grab your husband's hand, or if he won't go with you, go in there and you shut that door and you kneel down and you go to God with it. And you're going to find you can get some peace. It's real. He'll do it for you. He did it for me. He'll do it for anybody. But we got to pursue that, okay? Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight, that's the message. I don't know what the Lord's talking to you about tonight, what you need to do, but if you need to come to the altar tonight, by all means.